Hello. Welcome to Real Talk Radio with Bonnie and Tricia. Tonight we have a very special guest. His name is Chad Prather. And if you guys have been on YouTube and looked up his YouTube channel, I'm sure that you have laughed until you cried. We found Chad probably a year ago, saw a bunch of his videos, reached out to him about being on the show, and he was so kind to immediately agree. So he will be calling into the show very shortly. But first I'm going to read you, well, let's do a couple shout-outs, Tricia. How about the teen church, the sanctuary? You want to do those?
We've got the teen church. The teen church is at, I can't remember the address,
4165 Pruden Boulevard in Suffolk, Virginia.
Thank you. We meet, we have church Sunday mornings. We start breakfast at 9 o'clock, which is free. We do accept donations. But Pastor Glenn, Pastor Bonnie make an awesome breakfast. We have bacon, eggs, pancakes, French toast, sausage, grits, you name it. We've got donuts, coffee, and we take donations for that. And then our service starts at 10:30 with music, and then we have service. This is for the teens in the area to come, and this was a vision of Pastor Bonnie and Pastor Glenn to open up for teens who need a place to go that is safe. And there aren't a lot of places for the teens to go. This is one way that teens can come serve the Lord. We also have on Wednesday nights, we do have the support group here in the teen church, and that is for women, girls who have been sexually abused or who know have been exposed to sexual abuse. That is an awesome support group that we do have. We also, on Friday night, we have Friday Fun Night for the teen church. That's open to anybody. Anybody can come. It is a safe safe place for the teens to come. We do popcorn. Well, it's kids. We have a pool table. We have a foosball table, ping pong table. We have weight. We have the screen on. A lot of times we'll put on music videos. We come in. We play cards. We do a lot of things for the teens. And then sanctuary, do you want to talk about sanctuary real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. The sanctuary has been a vision of Pastor Bonnie for a long time and it's finally come to fruition. We do have an opening. We did have our first opening. Can't remember the date. Sorry, got a migraine. But we had bands come, and it was a huge success. And this is also, we want this open for local bands, the teen bands to come in and they play. And it's also a safe haven for bands and the kids to come that they can listen to their music, get a hot meal, fill their belly, be filled with a safe haven, safe place that they can come.
Awesome. I think Chad is on the line.
Hey, ladies, how are you?
Hey, we're good.
Chad.
We're so glad you're on here. So we're going to read your bio real quick. Chad Prather is a student of living life to the fullest, never one to shy away from adventure or a new experience. He faces the world with a smile. Chad is an adopted Texan that calls the Fort Worth, not Dallas, area his home. Although he grew up in Augusta, Georgia, he migrated to Texas in 2003. Though life's many winding roads, he has managed to keep his positive attitude and tries his absolute best to bring out the best in those he meets. Chad is an entrepreneur, a storyteller. Whether he's using music, comedy, motivational speaking, or any combination of the three, he feels that everyone has a story that needs to be told.
And we have the story that matters through social media, humor videos, he's considered to be one of America's fastest-growing public personalities. His wife, Jade, is still rolling her eyes. A sought-after public entertainer and motivational speaker, Chad uses his life experiences as an athlete, a husband, a father, a traveler, to coach and encourage others on their journey. He's also the host of Ride Television Network's It's My Backyard, as well as making numerous other TV and radio appearances.
Well, Chad, thank you for coming. I'm so grateful. I mean, we've seen your videos. I think we ran across your YouTube channel about a year ago. And I tell everybody, you make us laugh until we cry. Because you say,
I need to go and find whoever wrote that bio again and thank them, because they make me sound so much better than I am. I'm glad you found it. It's, I like to laugh. I like to make other people laugh. It really is my passion is to put a smile on people's face. And it's been a unique journey to be able to do YouTube and Facebook and put videos out that have been, not only a source of laughter, but also a source of encouragement, it seems. And I hear that a lot, people saying that I say the things that a lot of people are thinking and maybe are afraid to say. I don't know. I don't know that I sound that bold, but I'm a pretty straightforward, black and white kind of guy. I kind of see the world through a certain lens, and I've never been one to shy away from saying what I feel. So fortunately, I think it's made more people happy than sad. So
well,
keep trying to do that.
So keep it up. Well, let me ask you this. Well, I'm going to tell you something you probably don't know, and you don't know that your work is probably going there. We have a support group here on Wednesday nights, and I'm the director of the support group. It's called ACTS. And every week I give the girls homework. And a week ago I gave the girls a homework project that was to find a video on YouTube that inspired them, and then they had to explain to us why. And I'm going to let Tricia take it from here.
Yeah, I did choose one of your videos. Actually, it was the one where you had the $20 bill. And
right.
you were saying you want this $20 bill. Of course, everybody's going to want this $20 bill. It's a $20 bill, even when it's nice and perfect. But even if you rip an edge, tear it, if it's dirty, it doesn't matter because it's still a $20 bill. But even though it could be like that, God has put you on this earth, and you are perfect in his eyes. And he wants you, and he made you because you are perfect. So you're worth. You have value. Even if you're not perfect, you have value. And that did, that was like, that really spoke to me. I did like that. So I was like, hey, I like this. And there's humor to it, too. You want this $20? No, you can't have it. It's mine. My $20. Get your own. So
that's
even
right.
Though your YouTube channel is maybe for entertainment, you're being used in therapy and counseling sessions as well.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Obviously, that illustration is by no means original to me. I've been hearing that illustration for years and years, and a lot of people can trace all the way back to the first time they heard it in Sunday school somewhere as a child. But, I take those little vignettes, those stories, those illustrations, and try to tell the story from an entertainment and a humor standpoint. It gets people's attention. I set out a long time ago to encourage people and get their attention. I don't come at it from a necessarily churchy standpoint or a preachy. I have people who look at me and they say, well, is this that preacher that wears a cowboy hat? And I'm not that guy at all. I'm just like everybody else. I'm tongue-in-cheek. I'm a little bit raw. I'm a little bit, I've just been through so many things in life. I try to meet people where they are, and I don't come at you with some form of a lofty spiritualism. I just say, look, we're all real. We all fail. We all fall. We all make mistakes. We all have a past. And, you know, it's okay to laugh at ourselves. It's okay to poke fun at ourselves a little bit. And along the way, let's figure out that we're all in this thing together and build each other up. And so you take that video, for instance, I just realized that there's a lot of people out there who really are suffering and they're being beaten up and they've got this low sense of self-worth and they don't feel like that their life amounts to very much. And I just said, you know, no matter what you think of yourself, no matter what you've been through, you do have an inherent value simply because of the one that created you and put that value there. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I've had a lot of people who have, for lack of better terms, have stolen that video and taken it out there. Some have made it their own and retold it in a certain way. Some have just absolutely ripped the video and posted it on their page, not sharing it, but actually taking it and recreated it or put my video out there. And I've had people who wanted to be offended and say, man, you know, people are stealing your stuff. And I said, if they're putting that message out there, more power to them. If they're taking that one and posting it back on another wall somewhere, more power to them, because that's a message that needs to get out. It's one that needs to get heard, and I certainly don't need the credit for it. So I've been, you know, I'm thankful to hear you say that, and hopefully that thing is still making its rounds, literally around the world, to people who need to hear it.
I believe it is. Chad, do you remember the very first YouTube video that you've done?
Well, you know, I, you know, to clarify just a little bit, I started out really as putting videos on Facebook more than YouTube, and
wow.
I've always seen Facebook as being more my platform, even though I do copy a lot of things over to the YouTube channel. I originally started putting videos on YouTube and even on Facebook on little segments that I would call Chad's Church, and it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek jab at just saying, hey, you know, I'm not anybody special. I'm certainly not super spiritual. Everybody that knows me knows my mistakes, my flaws, my failures, but I want to take a minute or a minute and a half and just give you a little lesson that might encourage you. And so if you go back way, way back into the YouTube channel, you'll see some of those that I did about negativity and about bouncing back in life and about when life gets you down and trials and how to handle failure. And so there were a lot of those little videos that I used to put out there that seemed to get a really good response from a number of people.
Wow. I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She is too. We're going to go back and check them all. So what got you started doing this?
Well, I was doing a television show, and, you know, the television show that I have is a travel television show called It's My Backyard. It's on Ride TV, which is distributed through Dish Network on Channel 248. And I was looking for ways to promote the TV show. And I had a production assistant one day who commented about the little videos that I put out there for, you know, I was putting things out in the Fort Worth local area. And she said, why don't you do that on a larger scale? And I thought, well, nobody's going to watch them. And so she said, no, I think you're wrong. I think people are going to watch that. And she was right. I had no idea that when we first started putting those things out that people were going to watch it. And so almost immediately lightning really did strike. And people say, well, you know, you got lucky on that. But I don't believe in luck. I believe God really touched it and blessed it and used it. And we have about 80 videos now that are well over a million views each. And some of them, like the one with $20 bill, have been viewed 75, 80 million times. So, you know, we look at that and we say there's no explaining it to be able to do it over and over and over again the way we have. And I think what happened is, well, to back to your question, I was using those videos trying to promote the television show and to bring notoriety to what we were doing there. And the social media channels just really far outran where the television show was. So that kind of became what I did. And I remember back in 2013 calling my wife on the phone, on the cell phone. I was out doing some work one day, and I was in the corporate world. I had a history in with nonprofit organizations and churches, and I had gotten out of that and was, you know, in the corporate world, but I missed so much. I missed the opportunity of communicating with people the way I once had in my life. I called my wife one day and I said, you know, I've been down, I've been depressed, and I really just feel like I need to quit my job. And she said, well, I know you've been depressed, and if you feel like quitting your job would help you, she said, then quit. And I said, well, that's great, because I've already quit. And she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I really feel like it's time to just make a living just being me. And, of course, there's some jokes I tell about that. You know, she said, well, what is the street value on your personality these days? And quite honestly, it was pretty non-existent. But my wife believed in me. She knew what I was capable of. She knew I had an idea and I had a plan. We really had no idea that it would evolve into what it has today through, you know, using social media videos. Some of them are encouraging. Some of them are inspirational. The majority of them are just silly, tongue-in-cheek observations intended to put a smile on people's faces or even to make them laugh and think at the same time. And it's really kind of turned into a business and a brand. It's evolved into some really great things, such as, you know, today we do a comedy tour. The television show is still going strong. There's a demand for more and more opportunities to go and speak motivationally and inspirationally with humor. And so the doors have opened up on a personal level as well as on a corporate level, and it's really exciting stuff.
So when are you coming out to the East? I've checked out your calendar, and they're keeping you over on your side. We need you over here.
Well, we are working on that, and you know, I do a lot of private events all over the country, and the comedy tour, for instance, you know, we said we were going to target the state of Texas in 2016 and try to grow it from there. You know, it takes the show has really grown, and it takes money to get up and down the road and go and take the production where we go. And so we just said, let's try to build the business in 2016, and then we'll expand it as we go further into the next year. So we're excited about that because we have, you know, we do have fans all over the country, and in some cases, you know, quite honestly, all over the world. And I know that there's a huge demand for us to do certain things in different parts of the country, and we're certainly looking forward to doing that because I think it's time for, you know, for what we're doing to kind of be seen by a broader audience outside of Texas, because we really are having a lot of fun. You know, our show is, I travel with comedians. Those comedians have cut their teeth in the comedy world for the last 20 to 30 years. We're not, you know, these guys, a lot of them aren't coming. It's not a church show. It's a very real life show. We tell family stories from an adult and real perspective. And the guys I travel with, I've always told them, they said, you know, Chad, you have a certain persona out there that's not us. And I said, I want you to be you. I want you to tell your stories. I want you to tell it your way. I want you to come out and make people laugh. And at the end of that show, it's about a two-hour show. At the end of that show, people will tell you when they leave, it's the best, funniest show they've ever seen. And, you know, we've got people that we had someone that was at the show this past Saturday night in Abilene, Texas. That was her fifth show that she's attended. She's traveled all over the state trying to find us. And she's now been to five straight shows. So it's pretty incredible when we see the people who are repeating and chasing after us all over the state trying to come to these shows.
Well, for all of your videos that we've seen, I just laughed because, well, we'll go back. about the pants, the guys in the pants.
Right.
And you're sitting in the car, and I believe you're actually watching somebody. And we see that where we live here in Suffolk, Virginia. We see
goodness.
That every single day.
Right.
They run like dogs.
my daughter
you know,
when I dropped her off at high school.
I've had people over the years who will send me messages on a regular basis, and they're always recommending that I talk about this subject or that subject. And and what I've tried to do is I've tried to look at things that people deal with universally. What is something that everybody sees? And what is it that gets on people's nerves? Now, granted, you know, humor requires that you have a punchline. Someone has to be the butt of the joke. Unfortunately, we live in such a hypersensitive society these days.
Amen.
That people get so overly offended by everything. Well, quite mm-hmm. simply, it's a risk you have to take if you're going to have humor, because at the end of the day, somebody has got to be the butt of the joke. And so, you know, I poke fun of a lot of different things culturally. The one about the pants being pulled up, you know, that is something that I told someone. I said, it is universally offensive is what it is to have to
yes,
see
it is.
That. It's indecent. Nobody wants to look at that. Nobody will see that style, that fashion statement, whatever you want to call it. And I was at one of my offices that particular day, which is very close to some inner city areas in Fort Worth, Texas. And I pulled up, I'd parked my truck, and I was looking at these three guys walk up the street, and that's the way they were walking, carrying their pants. And I said, you know what, I've got to make some comments about this. And so many of the things that I say are truly spontaneous given the particular situation that I might be in at any given time.
Well, there's one that we saw, I believe I just watched it today. And you had been asked and asked and asked to do a video on it, and you finally did. And I wonder if you can guess what I'm talking about.
Oh gosh, I get so many of those. I would probably guess wrong. Which one was it?
About our presidential candidate.
Oh yes.
That was good.
Yeah, I had actually. You know, I so many of the videos that we do. So many of the videos that we do, or that I do, I say there's we, like there's a team involved. So many of the videos that I do, I'll post them, and then I'll never watch them again because personally to me, I don't want to watch myself. But it's I forget that I ever put them out. And that was one that I saw today, too, that somebody had shared, and it came up, and I was notified on it. And the further we have got along into this election process, mm-hmm. I could myself more with what we're dealing with as we're watching all of this stuff unfold. So, yeah, that's one that I definitely agree with. And I'm starting to take a little more into consideration the people who ask me to comment on certain things. And I've got to get caught up because I've got a lot of requests and folks send me some really good ideas from time to time. We've been so busy on the road traveling that it's been difficult to put more and more videos out, but I've got to get back to doing that because this has been one busy summer. But, yeah, this is quite the election that's shaping up in our country, and it's if you don't laugh at it, you'll actually start to cry because it really is it's a difficult thing to watch.
Yeah, very much so. We were watching the polls today going up and coming down, and it's just crazy. I think either way, we're going to have some things we're going to have to get used to and deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So you seem to be old school, like Tricia and I. So there's a couple of things. I know you have two daughters, correct?
I have three daughters.
Do you really? Okay.
I do.
Okay. Are any of your daughters at the dating age yet?
My oldest is 18, and
oh, wow.
my next is 16, and then my youngest daughter is 12, and so she'll be 13 way too soon. But none of them date. And they have a great social life, but they don't date. You know, we've never demanded that
well,
they not date.
Well, how blessed are you?
Yeah, I'm fortunate in that I have really, really good kids. They just have a really good value system, and I have always, you know, from when my kids were babies. You know, I used to have people who'd say, "Oh, well, just wait till they become 2 or 3 years old. They're going to tear the house apart." And I said, "No, they're not going to do that." And then it says, "You know, well, wait till they become teenagers, because then they're going to go crazy." And I said, "No, they're not going to do that either." And, you know, it wasn't this idea of my kids are better than anybody else's, but I had this belief that if I taught my children a value system, even over teaching them right from wrong, but teach them a value system so that they will value choosing right things, that in the long run, it'll be a blessing. So you take, for instance, my 18-year-old, and I keep my children out of the public eye as much as possible for a couple of reasons. One, safety, because I do have a large following, and people out there, there's a lot of odd ducks in the world. But secondly, they don't want to be in the public eye like that, and they didn't ask for that, and so I've kind of honored that for them. But my 18-year-old daughter, when she turned 16, the day she turned 16, she went and got a job. I didn't tell her to. I didn't ask her to. But that was her choice. That was in her value system. She felt like that was the responsible thing that she wanted to do. She had a job for a year before she even had a driver's license, and she still, 2.5 years later, has that same job. And, you know, she's in school. She still has that job. Her grades are excellent, and that's just her value system. My 16-year-old, she has excellent grades. She's a dance instructor. She's a ballerina. And that's her value system. You know, that's something that she sees as important, and she has a strong ethic in that. My oldest daughter, again, she's a published author. She's written 2 books. She was recently, a short story of hers was published in an anthology that just came out on Amazon. And so I'm very proud, you know, I'm very proud of these kids that do have that value system. I honestly wish that I could take more credit for how great my kids are, but thankfully, by the grace of God, they've matured and done very well in spite of my failures, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm very proud of them, but, you know, on the dating thing, I've asked them about that. We've talked about that. We've had very open and honest conversations. We joke about it, and they just said, you know, that's just not a priority in our life right now, and I honor that, and you know, my oldest daughter, she went to her prom this last year and went with a group of friends and some guys, some girls. And she just said, you know, this is kind of what I want to do right now. And if that develops later on, then that's what I'll pursue. But right now, this is where I am in my life. And I'm very fortunate that I don't have to deal with a lot of the rebellion and a lot of the stuff that so many parents do. Not to say that my kids are perfect. They fail. They mess up. They make mistakes. They get disciplined. But I've been really, really blessed. And thankfully, the Lord has not returned the fruit of my youth upon me through my kids, you know. You know, I go back to the old Merle Haggard song. He says, you know, my mama used to pray that, you know, the seeds I sowed in my youth, that the crops would fail. And thankfully, the crops, you know, didn't come up the way they could have. And so I'm very, very fortunate in that.
Well, you said earlier that before you quit the corporate world, that you felt depressed and you had a talk with your wife about leaving the corporate world. You knew what your calling was. And as a parent, we deal a lot here. My husband and I pastor the teen church here in Suffolk. And so our church is mainly teenagers and young adults. And we deal a lot with teenage issues of today's society and depression. And depression seems to be very rampant in our youth today. What advice would you give? I know you're not a professional, but as a parent, what advice would you give to teenagers going through all the situations that they deal with today and the parents trying to help them through it?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the parents have really dropped the ball in a big way, especially in our society. Let me tell you what I mean by that. And I'm not playing the blame game here other than to say that I believe it is the responsibility of a parent to look at their child from their babyhood, from infancy, and as that child grows and develops, to begin to discern that sense of destiny and the future in that child. Unfortunately, we have kids today, and they have for the last 25 years. They're graduating college with absolutely no direction in life. They are graduating undecided, and so what do they do? Now let's go get a master's degree, and we get our master's degree, we're undecided. And so they say that in this age of social media and technology that people are changing their careers 7 times before the age of 35. That's because people do not have a sense of destiny and future. It was the parents' responsibility to look at that child and say, you know what, this is the direction you need to take. Now, I can't pinpoint it for you, but I can help you move the right direction. For instance, you take, again, my 3 daughters. I have one daughter that's a beautiful dancer, incredibly graceful. She's an amazing ballerina. All 3 of my daughters at one time or another took dance. There's 2 of them that really should not slide on the slippers. They really don't need to put on the ballet shoes. It's not that they're not beautiful. It's not that they don't have talents in other areas. It's not a factor that they don't, have something to contribute, but they're not dancers. And so we sat down with them a long time ago, and we just said, you know, this is not the direction. This is going to be a waste of your resources and energy if you continue to pursue this. So, again, my older daughter, she found her pursuit, which was writing. And we're working with our younger daughter, you know, 12 years old. We're working with her to develop those things as well. And so, you know, we look at those things, and that way you don't show up in an audition for a show like American Idol and completely devastated when the judges tell you you can't sing because somebody in your life has been lying to you this whole time. And so when you factor all of those deals in, it's going to lead to discouragement, and it's going to lead to false expectations. It's going to lead to shattered dreams. And these kids are going to become depressed because they were not given, first of all, a sense of identity in who they were. That identity is going to lead them to a proper future and destiny. And I truly believe for all of us in our life, if you don't embrace the right destiny, you will fail to leave a good, lasting legacy. And that's what's happening. People are disenfranchised and disillusioned with life because their life is being lived without purpose. They have not found what God created them to be. I cannot take a dog and put it in a room full of cats and expect it to behave like a cat. That dog will be frustrated living in that room full of cats. And that's what we're doing. We have these ideas that our kids are just going to find themselves. They're not going to find themselves. That's what parents are for. And the amazing thing is how many kids today are living parentless. They're living without guidance. They're living without direction. And a big one, they're living without discipline. And I truly believe that if you're not disciplined in your life, you're going to be depressed in your life. I can tell you 100% for me that the reason that I became so depressed. Now, some people are absolutely chemically depressed. They need to be medicated. In some cases, they may need prayer and deliverance. There may be spiritual oppression that's going on. But some people need some deep, deep help. Many people, and I would venture to say most people, and I've gotten in trouble for saying this, but people who claim to have depression, a lot of times it has become chemical because they've kept themselves in a stressed out circumstance for so long that it has depleted the resources in their brain and in their soul to keep them healthy, to keep them on a plateau of life and a steady movement forward. And you know, I look at all of these people and I say, you've got to change your circumstances. And I looked at my life at one point in time and I said, this has got to end because I am chasing the wrong destiny. And I remember when Robin Williams committed suicide, and that I looked at that and I thought, here's a guy who had it all by outward appearances. He had everything the world had to offer, all of the success, a guy who put smiles on everybody's faces. He was the pinnacle of success in that world, and yet he was miserable and no one knew it except those closest to him. And if that guy felt like he was chasing the wrong destiny, how much more so those of us who struggle along day to day trying to eke out an existence? And I said, you know, I may risk and fall on my face, but I will know that I did the same thing I always taught my kids. It's okay to take the risk. So many people in life, ready, aim, 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 aim. They never pull the trigger. They never fire. And I believe that until you do that, you're going to continue to be frustrated and depressed in life. So, you know, what do I tell young people? What do I tell these folks who come to me? I tell them, I say, you know what? You need to find God's purpose for your life. You need to talk. You need to find a mentor. You need to find a coach. You need to find a parent, somebody that's going to be honest and tell you the truth about the direction you need to take in your life. If you need therapy, go get therapy. If you need medication and a doctor, go get those things. But by all means, find that person that's going to speak truth into your life and help you become who you need to be.
Wow. Very true. Very true. I have somebody on the line who just happens to be my husband, and I know he wants to speak, so let me unmute him, see if he's still there. Glenn? Glenn, are you there? All right, I can barely hear you. Would you like to ask a question? Well, I think we lost him.
Yeah.
Glenn, I want to hear from you, man.
Glenn, you need to hang up and call back.
I was over here preaching. I needed somebody to interrupt me.
I can hear him like way in the background. So we're going to mute him and let him call back. So if he calls back, Trisha, you can unmute him.
Okay.
Sounds good. That was awesome what you said. Glenn and I are also foster parents, and we've been therapeutic foster parents for, maybe 22 years. And what you said is extremely true about some parents dropping the ball. And we've seen it with our own eyes. We have a child right now who is getting ready to turn 18 years old. And I can only imagine what's going to wind up happening because it's been so embedded in him, the life that he has lived with his mom, that we've done everything humanly possible. And there are bits and pieces of him that have changed in the last year of him being with us. But there's still this deep embedment that I don't know that he will ever do away with, and that's what's going to get him in trouble. So to see these kids, the depression that they go through, and the walk daily, it's totally unclear. And many of them feel they have no real desires, the ones that we've worked with, that, you know, living on the street from couch to couch is okay because they're making it.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know.
At that point in time, you know, that's when, the survival kicks in, and they think that survival equals success. You know, I woke up another day, I deal with so many people who have just literally decided to crawl their way through life with just the most minimal sense of existence not realizing that they really are created with a greater purpose and something to contribute. There's so many directions I go with different people as I look at those situations and talk to those people. And again, I am not a therapist, I am not a doctor, but I am very intuitive with people. You know, it's one of those deals, I believe that one of the, you know, God's given me a strong gift of discernment, and I'm really able to read through a lot of people. I tell people all the time as I'm kind of coaching them, the issue is never the issue. People, I look at people on the surface or what they come to me with, and they say, this is what the problem is in my life. And I'm always telling myself the issue is never the issue. And I work real hard to get to the underlying motivating factor. What is driving this person to live less than a full and abundant life that they can live, that's available to them? And sometimes it's pretty amazing what you find when it's there. But it's sad when you love somebody and you see the potential and you see all the things that they can be, but yet they can't break out of that prison of their own mind. And that is frustrating. It's really, really frustrating when a person cannot see beyond the boundaries and the horizons of their life. And that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, are you there? Glenn? I guess his phone is not working tonight. He's there, but we just cannot hear him.
More Glenn's going to have to email it in.
Hey, Glenn. Are you there? Hello? Okay. So, I guess we're not going to hear from him tonight, but he was real excited that you were on here tonight. Oh. He wanted to talk to you.
Oh, Glenn.
Well.
I miss you, Glenn.
He can hear us. He just can't. We're not hearing him. Well, I guess the next thing that we want to ask, Trisha's looking at me, being married and a father of three, how hard is it with the traveling?
Well, let me correct you there. I've got three daughters, but I've got two sons, so I got five total.
Well, you just keep going.
This story just keeps unfolding, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. How old are your boys?
I've got two boys at nine. I've got a boy at nine, and I've got a stepson at nine. And so and it's funny because all five of the kids are so uniquely different. And it's always interesting because my stepson, who is not even my blood son, is probably more like me than any of them. And it's really kind of funny to watch all of that, but it's a funny dynamic. But, you know, on the road, as much as I am, it's difficult. It's a challenge. But we make it work. It's quite the juggle. It's quite the, my wife, she is a nurse, and she's also back in school. She's a nurse. She's been a trauma nurse for 14 years and working on the same floor here in Fort Worth for 14 years. And she's also working hard to become a nurse practitioner. So she's in school. And people look at us and they say, we have no idea how you do it. How do you do it? And our honest answer is, we don't know.
It's a God
but,
thing.
But somehow we managed to make it work. And, you know, I'm at home and I speak to a corporate group tomorrow night, and then I'll travel back home. And then Wednesday I speak to a corporate group in the middle of the day, and I'll travel back home. Then this weekend we're back on the road. We've got a show down in San Antonio. And then next week I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona, and Tucson, Arizona. And then I fly back in and head straight down to Houston. So it's a challenge, but it's the times that you have to travel together and do things together, and you make that time count when you are together, and you also schedule that time to be together, to travel together, do things together. I know my wife and I, once a month at least, we'll schedule a day or two to just go away and be together. and we might not go but 20 miles up the road and have dinner and get a hotel room, but it's a priority for us.
That's right.
To, you know, my wife is my best friend. We date each other and we flirt with each other and we are very honest with each other and we don't live with rose-colored glasses. We face the challenges that we have together and there's nobody in the world I'd rather spend time with. And I tend to believe that she feels the same way. And
all right, man,
good
you
life.
Should be out here.
Yeah.
I gotta interrupt you. All right, husband. I hope you're listening, Chad.
we have fun. Now let me clarify all that. Let me qualify it and just say that we've had those seasons where it wasn't easy and it was a challenge and we looked at each other and, you know, like all marriages, every now and then you look at that person, you say, do I still like this person? And you realize that love and a loving relationship and a good marriage, so much of it is a choice, and it is choosing to be romantic. It's choosing to love each other, to do loving acts. You know, my wife, I'm so excited. She's finishing a shift at the hospital. She's headed home here pretty soon. She's going to pick up one kid from a baseball practice, one of the boys, and she'll get home. And I'm so excited because I've got a huge surprise for her. And I replaced a doorknob on the door in the garage today, and she's going to be thrilled. So when you've been married long enough, stuff like that is romantic. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Who needs flowers? We just need the hole in the wall patched. So, you know, there's things
that.
Like that. We've learned to make our home, our house, our home, our sanctuary. It's where we escape from the world because so much, you know, when you've got a million followers on social media and your own television, your own radio, you travel all over, people really do disregard your personal space definitely disregard mm-hmm. your personal time. And so we've learned to try to create sanctuary space and time that is precious and honored. And, you know, the bedroom is the holy of holies, and the kids aren't allowed just to barge in there. You know, it's our kind of getaway. And we've been real good about being strategic in setting up, you know, our space and our time and making sure that nothing else invades those things.
That's wonderful. You should be teaching a marriage seminar.
I can kind of relate to your time trying to strategically, have time together. My husband's active duty Navy, and
right.
he
and
last
she's a nurse.
Year did. Yes, and I am a nurse also, and so he did a 9-month deployment and came back for a month, and he is now in Pittsburgh for 6 months for.
Wow.
So, yeah, he will. So he comes back. He's coming back this weekend for 2 days. So we're like, yay, we get to see him for 2 days. So, yeah, it's those little things where you're happy to have that time together, but you cherish the time that you do have together, even if it is going to start at home, because I've got 3 kids. But mine are older as well. But it's kind of like, yay, you know. Hey, we have to go to Lowe's and buy, you know, find something to fix the dryer.
Right.
Oh, let's go.
Right.
Kids, you stay home. You know? And it's like, hey, but it's time alone. You know,
yeah.
So
and that's precious. That is precious time.
Yes. Yes. So I do understand that. And tell your wife that that's awesome. She's going for her nurse practitioner. That's great.
She's working really, really hard. And you know, I, you know, first of all, let me say thank you to your husband and thank you to you for the, you know, the time and energy and effort sacrifices that you make as a family to serve the country. And that's, you know, that means a lot to me. And we try to do what we can to help as many military families as possible, especially those who have folks out in deployment and who are you know, all stationed all over the country as well as overseas. So I understand that because I work with those families all the time. And I tell people, people ask me, you know, you guys spend a lot of time apart. And I say, yeah, but you know what? We're blessed because we live a very fortunate life. We've worked really hard to get where we are. We knew the sacrifices that were involved. But a lot of times I tell people, I say, you know, you've got oil pipeline families where the husband may be gone for 6 months in Alaska, and you've got military
right.
families that deal with deployments. And you do what you have to do in order to make your family work. And I tell people all the time, what makes your family chemistry work may not work in another family. I look at these people who, and no offense to you guys if you do this, I look at these people on who go to the restaurant and sit in the booth on the same side as each other, and you know they can only eat with one hand because they've got the other arm around each other, and I'm like, baby, we're never doing that. because I do not need anything getting in the way of my Olive Garden pasta.
Yeah.
I don't like you like that. And so, you know, I'd rather sit across the table and look at her, you know. So I don't look at
yeah.
others and say, well, that works for them, it should work for me. You know, there's no condemnation there. But, you know, that's just a tongue-in-cheek way of saying that you got to find what works for you, and that's
yeah.
true not only on the marriage level, it's true on the personal level too. And so many people have this sense of how life should work, and unfortunately, they try to impose it on everybody else. And guess what? It just doesn't work for them.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. Now, I heard you say that you coach. So it seems that you do some things that we don't know. So tell me about your coaching.
Well,
I
was a pastor for 12 years, and I don't make a huge thing out of that. I, you know, it was just a life experience. You know, I worked with various churches and ministries around the world. And I don't promote or make that very public simply because I don't want people to turn off my message based on they, you know, what we do is we tend to label people, and when we label them, we can kind of put them in that box and
mm-hmm.
file them away and never have to deal with them again. And so I don't want people thinking that I'm coming at them like that, but I did, Pastor. What I realized years ago is that I was an excellent communicator, a great teacher, but I was a horrible pastor. I was a horrible pastor. And so when I stepped away from that role, it was very liberating for me. But I never lost that passion of working with people. And so even when I was in the corporate world, I had people who would come to me and they would say, Chad, we'll pay you to be our life coach. If you would just work with us on a weekly and monthly basis. And I said, well, you don't have to pay me anything. I'm just, you know, let's talk. Let's get together and have dinner, and let's talk about what you're going through. And so what I realized as I've moved through the last several years, that there are people out there that are willing to be mentored, willing to have someone speak into their life. And I've got a young man that lives with us right now. He's 31 years old. And, yeah, he lives with us. He lives in our house. And he's been with us for 7-8 months now, and we don't know how long he'll be here. He'll be here until he's ready to leave. But, you know, right now he's working through things in his life, and he's faced some challenges. He's got more challenges to face, and we're going to help him get that sense of, like I said earlier, identity and destiny built into him and help him move forward. And, you know, we do that from time to time with people that God puts on our hearts and people that are just placed in your life. It's been very rewarding for us, and sometimes it's frustrating, and sometimes you can see the ball patches on our head from where we've pulled our hair out. But we just feel that we've got certain life experiences. I've hit rock bottom enough times in life. I'm 43 years old. I've been broken. I have a heart for people. That if I don't give that back, then it's just going to be something that stagnates in me, and it's not going to be very rewarding.
Wow. You never cease to amaze. For sure.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, you know, it's just life. It's just life, and we're pretty unorthodox in how we live it. But it works for us, you know.
Well, you sound a lot like us, and I thought we were only a people in the world like that. We brought in drug addicted, little boy that we were supposed to adopt, and through the court system and the birth mom, we wound up losing him only for her to lose him 7 weeks later and then not be able to get him back. And then the Lord laid it upon our heart. She was drug addicted, and to bring her into our home and get her straight, and which we did, and she was with us for a while, and we formed a bond, a family bond, and we were able to find a home for her, her own home, and still it furnished from end to end. And only for, I guess it was 2 months later, she lost that and then took off.
Wow.
But, you know, the Lord brings people to your life for you to help, and it's not always what other people would see to do, especially to bring in with your own children. But our children have seen brokenness, and, you know, to be able to reach out and help and try to strengthen those that need it, because not everybody's going to do that. And
right.
I believe it's, you know, if that's your calling, then you need to step up to the plate and answer that calling. I tell my kids all the time, you know, we all have a calling on our life, and we know deep down inside in our heart what that is. We know what makes us happy. We know what we think about all the time, and we know what we keep running towards, whether it's scary or not. It's a passion that's there that's just not going away, and we have to do things in the way that the Lord has developed us to, because if we walk away from it and try to do it on our own, it's never going to work out. And I have one child of my very own who has found that out. They know what the Lord has called them to do, and they've tried in the past to go a different direction, and it's just never, ever worked out. And they just, well, you know, people just get upset because they want what they want.
Sure.
And we live in a very instant gratification type of world, and we all want what we want. We want it now. And
right.
I think we have to, you know, that's not what the Lord calls us to do. We have to grow and we have to learn, and that's not always easy.
No, you know, there's certain things in life that you will have to do, and one of those is develop wisdom. Another is develop patience, and a lot of times those things that you have to develop do not come easily. And you're going to get them one way or another. You're designed to develop those things. And the more you fight it, the more you rebel against it, the harder that process is going to be. And unfortunately, we do live in a society and culture that is anti-patience. It is anti-wisdom. It is anti-thinking. And we've really set a real big challenge in front of this generation to move forward and mature. And if you're going to mature, especially spiritual life, in a Christian life, this culture we live in is not conducive to developing spiritual maturity. It's going to fight against you in every turn.
That's right. Chad, can you tell everybody how to get in touch with you for booking?
You bet. Find me at my website, watchchad.com, or you can go to chadprather.com. They both go to the same place. There is a contact form there. You can send it. It comes directly to my email. And, you know, you can also find us at kingsofcowtown.com, and that's the comedy tour. And, you know, we're on the road. We're always on the road. I'll be through the remainder of this year, not only all over Texas, but personally, I will be everywhere from the East Coast to you know, all over New York, Atlanta, Georgia, North Carolina, and then I'm headed to, you know, Central California, Southern California,
all the way up to Rapid City, South Dakota. You said North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's the next state over. Where, you know when?
I'd have to look at the calendar, but I'm headed over to North Carolina. I've got, again, I have a lot of corporate events folks bring me in, and if they become open to the public and things like that, and folks are open to having folks come in, I'll usually put those on the calendar. So many of the things I do, we never even add to the calendar for two reasons. One, they may not be available to the public, and two, a lot of times I'm just lazy. And so we're working on all of that and trying to coordinate it.
Do you know what part of North Carolina?
I'm going to be in a couple of places in North Carolina. I'll be in Raleigh, I'll be in Charlotte, and I'll also be in Hendersonville. So, I'll have to go back and look at those. I've got a few dates that I'm going to have to add to the calendar, and we're still trying to get to Virginia. You know, we've got some places that we want to get. And I also encourage churches and organizations like that, if they ever want to have me in, I'm certainly available to come and speak. And if you're looking for somebody to come in and I'm pretty blunt, I'm pretty straightforward. I'm pretty passionate about what I believe, and I like to see lives change. So, you know, I'm always open to the opportunities to do that. I love the church. I was just bad at pastoring them, but I certainly love the community of faith and, you know, I don't know where I would be without it. And I'm certainly, you know, blessed by the folks that are a part of my life on a regular basis.
Well, we want to stay in touch with you and find out when you're going to be in North Carolina. And if we can coordinate having you here, funding wise and time wise, then we would like to do that. Definitely.
That'd be great. Well, I would love to catch up with you guys, of course.
Well, in our building, we're in a very large building. There's actually six churches in this one building.
Wow.
So we rent out space to other church plants and church starts, and so it's pretty big. So if we all come together, I think we'll have a sellout house.
I believe so. It sounds like it. Sounds like it. Well, that's great. Well, it's been great talking to you guys.
You as well.
Thank you.
Really great thing.
Well, stay in contact with us. Like I said, we would love to have you here if the dates coincide. And we are just so thankful that you came on the show and that we've learned so much about you that we didn't know. And we are going to be watching everything that you do, not stalking, but watching. So we're just going to keep you in our prayers and your family
as
well.
Please do. I appreciate that. Please do. That makes all the difference in the world. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, God bless you, and thank you again for coming. And you just kind of made our night.
That's great. Well, thank you, ladies.
All right. Bye-bye.
Y'all take care.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Well, we've just been very, very blessed with Chad being a part of the show tonight, and I know he's excited. His wife is on her way home, and he has that doorknob to show her.
Yes, it's a big surprise for her.
So that's pretty awesome, and I think I'm still in shock. He was a pastor for 12 years. So it doesn't surprise me, but yeah. So we are, I guess, at the end of our show, aren't we, Tricia?
I think we are. Yes, we are.
We just had somebody come into the studio, Miss Ashley and her two Yorkies. We have Houdini and Ray. Hey, guys. And we're going to let Ashley say hi. Hold on.
Hello.
This is Ashley Travis. She is 17, and she's part of the 2013 church and sanctuary. And this is one 17-year-old young lady who is so dedicated. She helps me a great deal with the church and with everything that we're doing. So we're very, very blessed to have her, and we just love her to death. We need a lot more teens like her. We're going to mold her. That's Trisha's daughter. So we're going to mold her. All right, guys, we love you all, and this has been a blessing to have Chad. The bow came out of the dog's hair,
y'all.
Check
it out.
So we've been very blessed to have Chad on the show tonight, and we've enjoyed this interview tremendously, and we hope that we can get to North Carolina and see. I don't know where Henderson... Did he say Hendersonville or Henderson? North Carolina. I don't think that's very far. So within a couple of hours, I believe, from where we are. So we're going to make a point, if that's open to the public, to go see him. And maybe Glenn will get to talk to him then. So, and then hopefully we'll be able to have him here. So God bless you all, and until next week. And look, if you guys know of somebody who you would like to see or hear on the show, then give me a shout-out at Bonnie@BonnieSpeaks.com, Bonnie@BonnieSpeaks.com, and we will do our best to get them on the show. But we will see you guys next Tuesday at 8 p.m., 8 to 9 p.m., and... I guess that's it for tonight, guys. We're going to be praying for you guys. Have a good week.
Have a blessed one.